1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Let the games begin.
It's the most wonderful time.
Boy, it's just like getting an arrow in the heart right now, isn't it?
A holiday arrow in the heart.
Yeah.
Which may be the most painful arrow of all. We've been asking you to send in your holiday horror stories for the last week or so, but you knew it was coming with the yearly feature.
All right. Start up a little warm up, a little stretcher here. Here we go. Simple story. At the doctor's office where I was employed, I was known as the cookie lady. One Christmas, as I was baking cookies for work, my husband decided to try one, and he immediately started gagging and rinsing his mouth. Knowing the jokester he was, I thought nothing of it until I fed one of my dog, and he gagged too. After going through the ingredients, I realized that instead of sugar, I used pickling salt.
Ooh.
That was in the same kind of container as my sugar. He could not get the taste out of his mouth for 2 days.
Yikes.
Terrible, unfun piece of holiday, but not anywhere near.
No.
Yeah, just a warm-up. Here we go. Our Christmas Eve family tradition of gathering at my father-in-law's consisted of 15 people sandwiched into a 500-square-foot, 80-degree apartment. Besides the uncomfortable sauna-like atmosphere, we had to contend with our two bratty, obnoxious nephews who had no parental discipline at all. This is at the father-in-law's house, so he's grandpa to these two kids. The only thing that made the day bearable was to fill them up with as much sugar as we could and watch them bounce off the walls. This resulted in my jerk brother-in-law and sister-in-law fighting over their behavior and blaming each other.
Mother and father fighting over
it. Although neither one was. It was the people who were feeding them sugar. We took great pleasure in this. It all backfired when my sister-in-law insisted they eat the cheesy cauliflower. The boys usually never ate vegetables, so this resulted in crying and screaming. After gagging down a few bites, my nephew vomited orange-yellow all over the cream-colored carpet right in the middle of Christmas dinner.
In Grandpa's apartment.
Yeah. The entire room went quiet before my brother and sister-in-law started to fight about whose fault it was that he vomited. Little did they know we were feeding him treats all afternoon. They left shortly after the cleanup, and we had a wonderful Christmas Eve after that.
Oh.
My father-in-law's carpet required professional cleaning to remove the stain.
Did they all pitch in for that?
It's kind of like they're the douchebags in the story.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
They're feeding the kids.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Yeah. It was a fun-filled Christmas Eve party. After much food and drink, gifts had been exchanged. We all received a pile of wonderful presents. The guests headed home with arms full of loot and full bellies. I started cleaning up the rec room. Few cups and plates needed to go into the dishwasher. Some odds and ends of wrapping paper had to be thrown in the garbage. There was an odd shadow on the carpet where one of the elderly uncles had sat.
Okay.
It looked like mud or dirt.
Oh, no.
Upon closer inspection, it was hundreds of mouse turds.
What? I did not see that coming.
They apparently fell out of the ancient box he had used to transport his gifts. I found out later that most of the gifts he gave were beat up old items that he got from his rodent infested barn.
Ew.
I was sure it was human.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
As I read, I was surprised too. This one's for you, Rock. It was to be a simple project. My dad hangs the lights on the gutter, and then we'd call it a day. My dad, well-versed in extension ladder usage from years of painting the house every summer, he was seemingly unconcerned with the wooden ladder's lack of rubber feet or the snow-covered driveway and figured, no problem, I will have my six-year-old son hold the ladder.
Grip is overrated. Six-year-old on the ladder, everybody.
All your right. Only defense against right. gravity. Grip.
My dad was all up at the top of the ladder, stringing lights in one hand, bottle of hams in back pocket, and pointing instructions with the other hand. When my mother started frantically waving me inside, and I not knowing if she was on fire or what, I just turned to her and see if she needed to change the channel or what. I figured it would only take a second to find out. And in that second, the ladder went from full extension, 20 feet, to flat on the ground with my dad sprawled out on the driveway. Oh. I could plainly see his broken glasses on his left and a tooth on his right and a big wet spot in his pants where the previously full bottle of beer had been.
Well, that's his fault. Why did he have to take a hams up the ladder?
I never did find out what my mom needed as I got less than a foot from the ladder when it went.
She had to land on the driveway.
Just a flat splat.
So he went down face first, right? Because it
sounds like
he knocked out a tooth and broke his beer and busted his glasses.
Hopefully his knuckles weren't wrapped around
the and we never found
ladder as well.
We never found out what mom needed, what the frantic waving was about. Oh, come here, look, there's a deer.
Yeah, got to the house, like that. Found out that mom was waving, that dad was face down in the driveway.
Picking up his teeth.
All right, a couple more. Dad said to be there by 1 p.m. for dinner. My wife and I were there at 12:50. Apparently that was too late because Dad was already drunk on his whiskey old-fashioned sweets. We walked into a screaming mess. Dad took the ham out of the oven and threw it away.
Why?
What? Yeah.
Out of the oven, just into the garbage.
Whatever, screaming, there was a fight. My wife and I left. Then my sister Amy knocked him on his ass. I am forever scarred and loathe holidays.
Ooh.
You threw it. What are you doing, man? That was the ham.
Perfectly good ham.
Do you pull it out and wash it off?
Rinse the ham.
Can't be dirty inside. Just cut off the outer layer.
Yeah. I just peeled the potatoes in there.
Wow, that's a move right there.
You want another one? Here we go. Christmas Eve, 1983, I was 15. We always go to Grandma's house for the holiday, only six blocks from home. This side of my family likes to drink and reminisce about wrongs done to each other.
This will be fun. It's like airing the grievances.
Yeah. We arrive at Grandma's. I bring in the dish we made for dinner and go back out to the car to get the gifts for Grandma and Grandpa. Passing my mother and sister, who are on the way into the house while I was on the way out.
Okay.
I grab the gifts and make my way back in to find my mother on top of my grandmother on the stairs wrestling over something said while I was outside, which was what? 30 seconds?
15, right? The kid's 15.
My uncle says that that's the way my mom is and grabs my mother. My aunt steps in to separate the bunch. I had enough of the drunk family festivities. I drop the gifts on the couch and walk back home as the brawl is broken up. Remember, it's just a few
blocks
away.
Yeah.
I get to my house to find I do not have my keys.
Aww.
And can't get into our second-story apartment. I make my way back to Grandma's neighborhood and go to my friend's house two doors down, where we would end up after Grandma's anyway, to stay the night.
Mom on Grandma in the time you stepped out to get the gifts out of the car. Wow, that's... we're getting out of the box hot this year. Just, ham in the garbage, mom just, and Grandma slugging it out.
Yeah, don't forget, there was a short slugfest story, too. Here's a mental.
Dad on the driveway.
This is no physical violence, but this is mental cruelty. Here we go. I had a rather contentious relationship with my grandmother. Throughout my life, she could be pretty mean to me, especially when we were alone and no one was around to witness her behavior. This is from a girl, from a woman. Mm-hmm. She always made it a point to make a fuss about my brother, who she preferred. At the age of 18, I stopped going out of my way to see her and include her in my life, but when I did see her at family gatherings, I treated her with respect and kindness. One year at Christmas, a huge box was sent to my flat. It was filled with several gifts wrapped in colorful wrapping paper. On the top of the boxes was one sheet of paper with a note to me. I don't have your brother's address. Could you please make sure he gets these? All of the gifts in the box were for my brother. Not one was for me, not even a card. Instead of sending the box of gifts to my parents to forward to my brother, she was sticking it to me by sending me his gifts. I was dumbfounded. I added my own note to the bottom of hers saying, I'm not your mail carrier. You want his address? Ask him for it. I then resealed the package and sent it back to her. Side note, this is the same one who told me at the age of 9 I was a burden to my parents and I needed a job.
Oh my goodness.
Now, that sounds bad.
But that's just day one.
But was grandma wrong? I'm just asking.